It's just such a sweet spirit here this morning. Such a sweet spirit. And what God is wanting us to know, that He is great. He is a great God. He is a great and mighty God. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the great I am. He is the lily of the valley and the bright and the morning star. This is the God that we serve. And this morning He's saying to each and every one of you, He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And Father, this morning as we wait upon the word that's going to come, we thank You for the anointing upon Andrew. We thank You, God, for what You have given to him to share with us today, Father. And our ears are open and our spirits are ready, Father God, to receive this word and give You all the honor and glory and praise, because You want to speak to us this morning about Your greatness and Your grace and Your mercy and Your love for Your people. So we wait with expectant hearts and we thank You, God, for the anointing upon Andrew, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you, worship team. And to KG and Judah, thanks for being behind the sound desk. I was a sound man for 8 years, and sometimes you only get noticed when things go wrong. But thank you, guys. And Kanya and to the team, thank you so much. Can I ask you a question this morning? Have you ever been in a crisis situation where you needed help? We're going to read about a man who faced a crisis situation that his very life depended upon on it. And he prays a very powerful prayer. But before I do that, I want to just ask a question, another question. Is anybody here that God speaks to them through dreams? Anyone? Quite a few of you, huh? So imagine I had a dream once, and sometimes when you get a dream, you don't know what it means. And I often find whenever prophetic people are around, there's somehow you catch the anointing of being a prophetic comes upon you. A bit like when Moses was prophesying, all of a sudden the 70 elders that came alongside him started prophesying. It's almost like that anointing comes on the house. I shared in my testimony last week about the miracle holiday. We had a prophetic lady talking about a miracle holiday. I went to bed that night, prayed for a miracle holiday, and it's about 10, 11 the next day, I had that phone call. Come to Ireland for 3 weeks. It's all paid for. There's something when someone's in the house and you recognize the anointing upon them, you can draw from that. But if you treat them with familiarity or even contempt, you can't draw from that. So we see a man, Daniel, here. So I had this dream, and in the dream, I'm in the harbor of Durban, and I'm standing, I'm looking at these big ships, and I'm overwhelmed with my friend George. He was leading the church at the time, and I was about to come up to Hillcrest to plant a church. And we're standing in front of these. I was looking at these big ships, and I said, these ships are huge. And all of a sudden, we were taking up to a high place, and I looked down, and I said, now look how small they look now. And there was this chap, Bob Hazlitt. He travels extensively around the world, and he interpreted a dream. He says, you're currently overwhelmed by leadership, but God is showing you that there's anointing. And when the anointing is there, those things that look big and scary become minuscule. In the same way, when God reveals something to us, something that can look so scary, so overwhelming beyond us, suddenly becomes smaller in our eyes compared to God, as we sang today. And so we see an account that takes place here. A man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, we know the story well, has a dream. And he calls these groups of people together, magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers. In fact, the word astrologer is actually the word Chaldeans. Now, Chaldeans live south of what is modern-day Iraq. They lived in that area, and we'll talk about them because they're an amazing group of people. In fact, the Chaldeans are the only people who engaged with Nebuchadnezzar thereafter. And he said to the king, what you have asked is impossible. Then the king orders them all to be killed, every single one of them. And word gets to Daniel about this, and Daniel wants to intervene. And so he prays this prayer. And can I ask you, while I pray this prayer, close your eyes now and picture the situation you're in where you need God to move. What is that thing that's being magnified in front of your vision that's reduced God to being small and the problem big? Can you just close your eyes as I read this prayer? Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and season. He disposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness. The light dwells with Him. I thank You and praise You, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked of You. We have made known to us the dream of the King. Imagine you praise every situation you faced with that, and your last line was, "You have made known to me what I need in this situation." And he prays that prayer. And then Daniel says to the king, "There's no wise man, no enchanter, no magician or diviner can do what the king asks." But he says, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." Can you say today, but, and I will say, be careful where you put your buts. But there's a God in heaven in my situation. And then Daniel describes his dream. And this is the title of the message, Not by Human Hands. And all of a sudden, there's a prophetic picture of something that's going to come in hundreds of years' time. And we know what it is today. But here's the dream. Your Majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron, partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, not by human hands. It struck the statue on his feet of iron and clay and smashed him. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. What a wonderful dream. And we understand on this, looking at this side of the curtain now, or this side of the veil of the cross, we understand what the rock was. It was Jesus. We look today, Assad's regime in Syria is completely like chaff, the wind has blown it away. And we see in the right today a situation where a king has been disposed and a new regime has come in. So we understand from Scripture this, and there's different views on this, but I want to go with this view. The head is the Babylonian Empire. We understand that. And it's interesting that Daniel says Nebuchadnezzar was called the King of Kings. That's the term that Daniel gives him. He said to the King of Kings about the true King of Kings that was going to come. He said to him that the God of heaven has given you dominion, power, and glory. You are the head of the gold statue. To the chest of silver, we understand it to be the Media Persian Empire. There was a less inferior kingdom that would arise. The belly, the thousand of bronze would be the Greek Empire. And lastly, the legs of iron and clay were the Roman Empire that would come. So in the time of the Roman Empire, a rock would be cut out, not by human hands, but be smashed against the statue. I just want to chase a rabbit quickly while we're talking. You ever read that scripture where Jesus says, "You prophesy in my name, you do all this in my name," and he says, "Get away from me." That scripture is scary. I think it scares a lot of us. But we understand this, that if Jesus is not in the very center of it, in other words, if he hasn't called you into that, you're doing things on your own. As they say, some are called and some just took the microphone and went. The key to ministry is this. Is that we wait on God and we don't move until He speaks to us. Because the danger is we operate in a presumption and we start doing things to God and He's like, "This is not me." One of the things I learned with my previous pastor, he was extremely a wise, discerning man. He says, sometimes when you give people money, you can be going against what God's doing in their life. And so we understand that even in everything that we're involved in, we need discernment. And Daniel understands this. So you understand that out of this comes the prophecy of Jesus, that a kingdom is going to come that's going to change the whole world. And we're going to read in Daniel 2, 44 and 45. In the times of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself will endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron and bronze, clay and silver and gold to pieces. The great God has shown that the king that will take place in the future, the dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy. I think there's something about dreams that God wants to speak to us more and more in. I want to challenge you today. When you go to bed at night, God, while I sleep, let me be attentive to what you're trying to say to me. And even have a journal. For those who love journaling, have a journal next to you that you can draw from what God is saying to you. Because I don't know why, I think when God speaks in a dream, it goes into the very core of who you are, your deep subconscious, that the deep things inside you. So God is going to the very heart of who you are and revealing who he is to you, that you too can be bold like Daniel. But what's interesting is about these Chaldean groups of people, and maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but they lived in southern area of near Baghdad, below Baghdad. They understand, they believe that there was a connection between things in heaven and earth. When they saw the stars, when they looked at the stars, they said, when there was a shift there, there was a shift on earth. They knew that. That's what they believed. They also, quite interestingly, came up with quite pronounce this word, but a system that worked with the 60s rather than the 10s and the 100s, 60s. So if you ever wonder why we have minutes and 60s, seconds and 60 minutes and 360 degrees, it comes from the Chaldean group. But what was amazing about these group of people is that Daniel spent time with them and became the chief of them. And so now we understand a mystery is taking place here where Daniel, who has a revelation from God, an encounter with God, who's walking closely with God, is now a chief of a group of Chaldean men that became known as the Magi. And now he starts to communicate to them and starts showing them of things to come. Then you know where I'm going in the story here. That there was a group of people in the time when that rock was being cut out of a mountain. They were watching the stars, waiting for the sign. And I'm going to show you now that we're actually even counting down the years, waiting for it to happen. You know, it's interesting when you look at the fall of these, when the Greek Empire defeated the Persian Empire, when Alexander the Great went to a place called Gaugamela, and the night before the battle, guess what took place in the heavens? A blood moon. And the Chaldeans went to the king of Persia and said, don't do this fight, you'll lose. And I think in the arrogance of who he was and the vastness of his army compared to the small Macedonian Greek army, he said, no ways, we'll do it. And they went out and got defeated by Alexander the Great. And it was the end of the Persian Empire, and the Greek Empire came into being. But I just find it interesting, it's recorded even in secular, that the Chaldeans warned the Persian king, don't go into fight, there's a blood moon, there's a sign in the sky to come. But here's the one I want to share with you, and we know it well. It's in Daniel chapter 9, and here's the exact time and date given that Jesus would die. Given more than 600 years before. And this is Daniel speaking. Know and understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. And so we understand this. That during the time of Darius, the Israelites were sent back to Egypt. And from the time the order was given to build a temple, there'll be 49 plus 434 years. There'll be 483 years. Then the Messiah will die. And it goes on to say, after the 62 sevens, anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come to destroy the city and sanctuary, the end will come like a flood. War will continue to the end, and the desolation has been decreed. In other words, from that day, Jesus will die. War will break out. Jerusalem will ultimately fall. But there's a king, and his kingdom will endure forever. And so this group of Magi, imagine they had a watch. When Daniel gave the word, they were waiting for the decree of the temple to be rebuilt. And as soon as the temple was built, they started the watch. And 483 years later, and we understand this, that God didn't speak much during that time. They were watching the heavens until the star appeared. And they said, there's a star. Let's go now find this anointed one. That Daniel, who through generations had passed on from Magi to Magi, calling, and they watched the skies, and they were looking. And so they were led by Daniel giving that word. And then they saw the one who was formed, who didn't come from human origin. But I want to share you one other vision that Daniel got, that this is probably my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. It's Daniel standing, looking, not only seeing the date that Jesus would die, but also seeing a picture of Jesus coming into heaven. And it's in Daniel, and I want to start off by the prelude, which is in Acts chapter 1 from verse 9. The disciples are now standing around Jesus. He's appeared to them in the risen form for 40 days. They're standing now with him. And it says, after this, after he tells them you'll receive power, and it's 10 days before Pentecost, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And don't you just love it when you read the Bible? Because it's only when you read the entire Bible that you get to see how all the dots connect. Because now, in the time of Jesus, in time of Acts, they're writing here, but almost 600 years before that, Daniel sees another vision. The disciples over here see Jesus go up into a cloud. They can't see him anymore. Daniel's now standing here, and he's watching a cloud coming. And we read it in Daniel chapter 7. And here's Daniel speaking. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Isn't that incredible, hey? I mean, that should blow your mind. And that's what I love about the Bible, is that as you're reading this, suddenly you discover something as you're reading and you go, that's just turned a light bulb on. I read this somewhere else. Where was it in Daniel? I read this. And as we read the word, all of a sudden the light starts coming on. We start to get a picture, understanding what God's doing. And so we understand that Jesus goes up in a cloud. He approaches heaven in a cloud. And we know that one day he's coming on a cloud. So watch the clouds. We had a three-year-old boy. His name was Nicholas Wright in our church. Was he two or three? I can't remember. And we lived in Durban North for about 19 years. And if in Durban North, you always get these clouds on the horizon. And sometimes, and the reason why you get the clouds out there, because the warm current doesn't come right to the coast, the Mozambican current. There's a few kilometers out to sea, and you get these beautiful clouds. And sometimes you've even seen tornadoes in those clouds. But one night, he's looking out to sea, never read the Bible, doesn't go to kids' church. He sees a big cloud with lightning, and he says, Mom, look, there's a cloud that Jesus will come on one day. I've been in youth camps where my youth had visions and described the throne room of heaven exactly like they do in Scripture from Revelations, without even reading Revelations. Sea of glass, everything, describing it to perfection. And there's something about the wonder of God that captivates us, that God is in control. He knows the time set for us. He knows the places set for us. We sit and we may be in a confusing, unsure environment, but he's not confused, he's not unsure. So the more we're in him, the more we're on the solid rock, because he knows the times, dates set for us. And so he says to us, do not worry, do not be anxious, but seek first this kingdom that's becoming a mountain on this earth. David is sharing just places in the earth where we would think there's no way the kingdom is there, and it's some of the fastest growing places of the Christian faith in the world. But we just look at the news and get all that rubbish. don't you just wish God truly had his own channel? And he does. It's called Revelation. It's called the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you today that God, get involved with things that don't have the human hands on them. Get involved in things that God is in the very midst of doing. And that needs a heart of someone who will pursue God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. Because in that, that's where the encounter is. That's where God speaks, and that's where God establishes something that cannot be shaken. We all know this wonderful building that has been built through people who sacrificially have given or joyfully given to build this building. But we know, we can't see it. But right underneath of us is a solid foundation. That's what every one of us need in our lives, is this revelation that God is in control. And just as Daniel had all these revelations and all these visions, the young men will dream dreams and the old men. I don't know what category you put yourself in. I think 120 is old. So anybody below 120 years young will dream dreams. Let us be those people who dream. Because I'm expectant. This is strange for me, because usually when you come to the end of the year, you think, I just want a break. I'm actually dreaming already for next year. There's an excitement for what's coming next year. And maybe you're right now thinking, I'm glad 2024 is over. I just need a break. But I'm excited for what's happening, what's coming in the year ahead. And I want to ask you to join me in praying. And can I ask you to stand up? Yvonne, you made us stand up. Let's all stand up and pray in faith. Let's shake off those things. So I wanted you to picture this rock in your mind now. Picture a rock being cut out from a mountain that comes hurtling. And now to think of all the kingdoms of this world right now, all the wars we're experiencing, and how this rock will smash all of those. And this rock then, can you just picture a rock on the ground, suddenly grows and becomes a mountain. And this mountain stretches far and wide and reaches around the entire earth. That is the God we serve. We are on the winning side. His kingdom will endure. His kingdom is advancing. But Father, I just pray and ask this morning to give every one of us here divine revelation that we are on a rock. We are on this mountain that is higher than us. And Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning who may be anxious or worried or tired or come to the end of themselves, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you just switch on the light. Bring revelation of your kingdom, Lord. Bring an excitement that will well up from deep within. I'm praying, Father, for testimonies of dreams and visions in this time of what you're doing, Lord. We believe, Lord, and I believe that you're about to do something in our day here in KZN that if you had to tell us, we would not believe you because it's so beyond what we're seeing right now. So, Father, we thank you, and we just thank you for the testimonies of Daniel, Father, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Lord, who weren't fearful even of a furnace that were turned up 7 times. And maybe we feel we're in a furnace that's 7 times, Lord, who fearlessly walked in because I know that you would be in the midst there. So we thank you, Lord, for testimonies of you being in the midst of every situation we're facing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.